Two.
Good.
Oh, there we go. Very good.
Forty-six Chestnut. The photo in the middle is the property in question in discussion tonight. To the left is the direct abutter, 44 Chestnut, and to the right is 48 Chestnut. And that you can see going down Chestnut towards Charles Street. It's a series of very similar buildings, with 46 being a little bit different and 44 being a little bit different again. Next slide, please. So on the front facade, which subject to design review tonight, is painting the front door and shutters. They're currently black. We're proposing a color called Flint, which is a very close match to an historic color called Brattle Spruce, which Nick and our team looked at the Historical Colors of America chart and found this beautiful shade called Brattle Spruce, which is a deep, deep gray with some gray and blue undertones. We'll see that on the next page. Also under preview on this front facade is replacement of all the windows. I do want to save the conversation about replacement versus restoration of windows for the end. Fernanda will speak to that. So the other major element on the front facade is the mansard. We have photographic evidence that the mansard in its current condition is no newer than 1928. We think it's pretty flat. It's definitely a less than 100-year-old addition, if not newer. It lacks a bit of detail. The way the slate mansard meets the brick there's no elegance, there's no detail there. And the way the mansard is at the top, it's pretty tight to the top of the dormers. We think there should be a little more breathing room there. So what we're proposing is to keep the brick facade exactly as it is. There's currently some, it's like a stepped corbel at the brick. We would not alter that. The proposal is to add sort of a decorative cornice, like a wood cornice with a crown and a slight projection, and install a proper copper gutter on the face of that. Keep the slope of the plate mansard, extend the height of it 2'8". Extend the height of the dormers by about 12 inches, and install a pediment top to the current flat-topped dormers. So again, the main points for the mansard are: add a decorative cornice between the brick corbel and the slate roof, raise the height of the mansard, extend the height of the dormers, the width to be the same, and add pediments to the top of the dormers. I don't know if I hit everything on the checklist for the front facade. I believe so. Next slide. Thank you. Of note here is the we're proposing a lantern. There's currently no light fixture at the entry portico. We're proposing a pretty decorative, exuberant lantern fixture. It actually happens to be this currently installed at 55 Chestnut. I'm not sure if that was approved or not, but we think it adds a little bit of elegance. Also to note here is the color chart for the building, more or less. So we are proposing black for to repaint the boot scraper and to repaint some metal grills. You can see that deep gray color. That's a pretty close to match to the historic Brattle Spruce. It's a deep gray with some gray and blue undertones. At the top of the colors is off-white, which is where anything that's sort of whitish on the building would be painted this off-white color. And then the last color is gray, which is to paint the lintels and sills, which are currently a very similar color. I believe everything else is here in admin review. Yes, and this is admin review as well. So let's go to the flip side of the building. This is the elevation directly on Branch Street. The building has a main block, which starts at Chestnut Street and goes the rest of the middle of the site. There's a brick L that extends to Branch Street. And to the left of the L is a one-story garage, which likely previously was just a garden wall. So on the Branch Street facade itself, we're proposing full restoration. Replace the service door with a new door in kind. Keep the service door sign there. Nick, I forgot to add that to the application. And then for the garage, the garage is a standard garage door size. I believe that when it was installed, they infilled the opening by about 4 inches, 4 to 6 inches to get to that standard garage size. You can see where Nick is circling. The opening does not align with the existing granite base. It does on the left side. So we believe that the original opening to the garden was wider than it is currently. We're proposing to reopen it just to have that same sort of more elegant condition where the opening aligns with the granite base. I think that's it. That's what we're talking about in this elevation is just the Branch Street true facade. So then, thank you. Next page. The next photos might be disorienting, but showing a view from Branch Street looking back towards the sort of garden courtyard of the property. There's what I want to call the rear elevation of the main building to the left between the gray building and the yellow shutter. And then there's the side of the L. Next page, please. So here's a section cut through the garden and the garage showing on the right the existing condition on the left, the proposed. We are proposing a number of changes to the masonry openings on the brick L. We think that, I don't have dates of permits or when things were built, but we think that this was built sort of piecemeal over time. There's evidence of different brickwork roughly two-thirds of the way from the L, from the main building towards Branch Street. There's also just a it's sort of unsettling syncopated rhythm of the single double hung windows that we'd like to organize and sort of calm a little bit. Further on in the presentation, I can show you that a majority of the lower, maybe floor and a half, is not visible from Branch Street. In addition, on top of the brick L, there's a wood-framed room, the wood-framed addition, which I don't know exact date, but we think it's pretty modern. It's constructed out of, the framing is you know, dimensional lumber. The doors and windows are certainly no more than 40 years old. It's currently clad in a sort of dark brown metal material. We're proposing to clad it with in a wood paneled system. And instead of these sort of suburban French doors, introduce single double hung windows at a more evenly spaced rhythm there. And again, later in the presentation, I'll show some precedents of some pretty nice black paneled wood orioles and bays and additions on Branch Street. Next slide. Did I hit everything there, Nick? I'm sorry.
Let me just go back here real quick. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And then when we talk about the roof, we get to 3D views. I can just talk about the fire balconies and all that.
Right.
Okay. Next image. So the next image is this is an elevation looking at the rear of the main portion of the building. The drawing in the middle is the existing condition. You can see there's a sliding glass door, clearly not historic. And as you go up from that floor up the elevation, you can see there's probably four different window opening conditions. The one directly above the patio door is two double hung windows with a very heavy lintel and a chunky trim between the windows. The next floor is a pair of double hungs with some wide trim inside the masonry opening. Above that is a pair of, it's a threesome of double hung windows again with some trim. And then above that is the mansard. What we're proposing in the brick elevation is to normalize this, give it all the same lintel and sill detail that we think would have been original, and center everything, you know, organize it a bit. I don't believe that a designer of any era would have designed it like this, but that's a comment. I will point out, and we'll see this later on, that the patio door is not visible from Branch Street. The sill of the window above is not visible from Branch Street. So essentially what you'd see is the header of the pair of double hungs above the slider up is what's visible. And at the mansard, we're proposing, instead of there's a set of four double hungs, proposing a set of three double hungs, slightly larger size, and a pair of wood French doors opening to the existing roof deck.
And Mark, just a quick question. I'm sorry to interrupt, but two images are not the same scale. Is that correct?
These two images are the same scale. What you are seeing at the mansard is, I mentioned earlier, we are proposing to raise the roof 2'8". It's currently pitched towards the middle. We want to raise it so it's essentially flat, but pitched down in the middle, so that the front mansard is higher than the middle of the roof. That makes sense, to inverse it basically. Okay, which so will allow
how much higher is the mansard in the proposed?
The leading edge of the mansard roof will be 2'8" higher than the current roof, 32 inches. And by inversing the slope, it also allows us to to sort of inset the proposed roof deck a little bit more. So it's not sitting on top of a pitched roof. It's sitting within a valley, basically.
So it slopes toward Chestnut Street is what you're saying in the proposed.
It slopes toward the middle of the building, like a commercial building would, tapered insulation and roof drains and internal drainage.
Could you show the section through the building?
This is a section cut. I'm sorry, go ahead, Ralph.
No, in the other direction. Don't you? You have a section that's cut through your building where you get to see the street.
I don't see it, Ralph.
It's 10.
It's in a.
There's a sight line. There's eight. A diagram.
Drawing 8?
10.
Oh.
10.
The numbers are different. mine says drawing 8. It would be, in my mind, it would be helpful to see the existing roof profile and what the profile is with the roof that you're planning, that you've planned, seeing the existing condition and overlaid or dotted in. I'm trying to get a sense of how much you're adding in relation to what's there. Do you follow?
Certainly. Well, I understand.
Ralph, I agree, but why even bother? By what idea would you take a historic facade and raise the roof? When I saw this in the list of projects today, I thought this is the most difficult one. He was going to raise the mansard, change the proportion of the windows. I mean, isn't that all historic? I mean, we talk about these things like they're precious, and here's a guy going to remodel the whole roof and change windows on the side walls, et cetera. Anyway,
I was wondering why there weren't a bunch of protests.
Well, we haven't gotten that far yet. Who knows?
I'm protesting. I just think it's shocking.
Well, Mark, can you speak to that? Do we have this diagram, but for the existing?
I do not for this presentation. I will certainly have that for the next meeting.
Okay. That would be helpful indeed. Because I'm also having a hard time understanding it, sort of like the prior application with the roof deck, if you were listening. You know, kind of the apparent effect of this raising the roof. It's just hard to know from a two-dimensional elevation from that perspective how different it looks.
Mr. Chair.
So, certainly. What drove us to reconsider the mansard was, first of all, knowing that it's at most 96 years old, probably a little bit newer than that. And the way that it's detailed, it has lack of detail on the facade. The rest of the building was sort of, in my mind, having respect for the older buildings, was begging for a little bit more appropriate presence for the mansard, both in scale and detailing. Yeah. I don't know if it's worth going back to the image, the photo, but that's what drove the.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly, okay, and I think Commissioner Feingold wants to come back in here in a moment, so I'm going to let him do that. I mean, understanding, let's just say, and I don't mean to jump the gun here, but at least from the front, from the Chestnut Street facade, this mansard, I mean, 96 years old is pretty old as far as we're concerned. It's not the oldest in Beacon Hill for sure. But the evolution of these buildings, many of them, this one certainly a good example, has been significant over a long period of time. And so a 100-year-old architectural feature is certainly important. Now, having said that, we understand that this mansard was not rendered, let's just say, the most elegantly, and is not the most impressive specimen of that era or any era in which these mansards were added. So, we maybe appreciate the impulse to try to want to approve that, but we're still going to have lots of questions as to how and how best, if at all, to do that. So, Mo, did you have another thought or question?
No, I just wanted to reiterate my concern about why are we even discussing raising, taking apart the mansard and raising it as it faces Chestnut Street. Isn't that significant? I mean, why would we do that? Now, the other,
well, I think
the
for the moment, we just want to understand what's proposed. We're not necessarily debating it yet, but we certainly will.
All right.
Like the
guy,
though.
Okay. I calmed down.
Okay. So, again, just to quickly get through.
We're going to rebuild it. We're raising it.
The remainder of the proposed changes here.
Yes, there was some feedback or something. Yes. Nick, can you go to the next photo, which is an accent of the rear work, which might actually scare
you. I don't care about that.
Fernando.
Yeah, can you ask them somebody to mute themselves? Thank you.
Yes, is Fernando with you?
Yes, Fernando is part of my client development teams. He might be looking to speak.
Yeah, no, he was the one who was doing the talking in the back.
Folks, I think we should let the applicant do the presentation and then we can do these critiques.
For sure. Let's, Mark, please carry on.
Sure thing. So this is a 3D view of the rear. The right side is the existing and the left side is proposed, showing the number of changes that I mentioned, the masonry openings on the side of the L and the rear of the main portion of the building, sort of organizing those. We do have the opportunity, since this is being converted from four family to single family, and the project next door is also being renovated to single family, we have the opportunity to eliminate a lot of the fire balconies and fire escapes. In addition, we are proposing to remove the connecting stairs between the numerous terrace roof decks on the roof. So currently there's the roof deck on top of the brick L closest to Branch Street. There's a roof deck on top of the wooden addition. And there's a roof railing on the high roof of the main portion of the building, all connected by staircases that we are thinking to eliminate.
Okay. Yep. So maybe that.
The rest of the slides in my presentation are regarding windows, which I'd like to hold off on a second. But Nick, I thank you for allowing me to email you so late this afternoon. I added some sort of supplementary information that came out of my meeting with the Beacon Hill Civic Association Architectural Committee Monday. They had some really good comments about some items that I think the supplemental slide will help clarify or at least show in a different way.
Okay.
Do you want me to share that, Nick, or did you
please
wrap that in? Okay. I just said disabled. Oh, I'm losing my sound.
I gotta make you co-host. There you go.
Are you seeing my screen here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. So this is just a series of historic photos that we've done. Nick, you sent this aerial that shows the evidence of what the original roofline might have been. The photo on the left is a side view looking up Chestnut. This red line indicates the profile of what the roof was, and then versus what currently is there with the sort of flat mansard tight to the brick building. So originally the building, or at least more than 94 years ago, the building didn't have a mansard on top of it. This next slide shows, and Michelle and her colleagues on and the architecture committee had some questions about the precedent of a pediment in a mansard. This is actually directly across the street at 41 Chestnut. I thought the pediment detailing seemed to be more in keeping with the federal style of the rest of the building. My thought. And this is a photo from looking on the back of Branch Street. There's a number of buildings that have these sort of wood clad orioles and additions, which is what we're proposing for the wood framed room on top of the brick L. And this is sort of my attempt piecing together a bunch of site photos of what is not visible either from directly on Branch Street or down Branch Street, looking back towards the property. So what you see in the sort of magenta color is what I believe is not visible from anywhere on Branch Street, if that helps at all. And at this, that's the end of what I wanted to present. If we want to talk about that or have Fernando jump in to talk about windows, I have some supporting material for that as well.
Okay, Mark, thank you very much. Just to sum up very, very quickly. So front facade, we're talking about repainting largely in similar colors. We're talking about installation of a lantern and a doorbell system. We're talking about potentially revising the fenestration in the mansard. We're talking about replacing the windows. And then on the rear facade, and then the of course, implicated in the front facade is this proposed raising of the height of the mansard, which you can see clearly there. And then turning to the rear facade, it is a enlarging a number of window openings, reconfiguring the layout of the fenestration to make them line up, and I guess removing some windows on that lower floor, removing roof deck railings and fire balconies, pardon me, and some of the staircases on the roof deck, recladding this, whatever we want to call that, not quite head house, in wood rather than the current dark metal. And then again, the proposed increasing the height of the mansard as expressed in the rear of the building. Is that a fair summary of what we're talking about?
Yes, and thank you for, yes.
Okay, so let's see. With respect to the windows, was there, it sounded like there was some further color that we wanted to add to that, or just clarification? Or does anyone have any questions about what's proposed? And we're talking about the front facade windows specifically?
Maybe I'll add a little bit more, and then if my team wants to jump in. So the project has a number of window conditions. There are a handful of wood windows that appear quite old, if not original. There are a number of windows that are one-offs. There are some vinyl windows. There are some casement windows. And there are some that are very, very, very far beyond repair. Nick did a site walkthrough with me, and I might be wrong, Nick, on a couple of the windows, but basically what I've highlighted in green are windows that Nick thought could be restored, and the ones in red are either garbage, like meaning not historic, or not, or beyond repair. So it's, I don't know if the proportion's 40-60% of what is salvageable versus and restorable versus not.
This
Mark, there's quite a mix.
Go back one.
Hi guys, Fernando Dalfio here. Thanks, Mark.
Yes.
Yeah, what we're trying to do here is just replace the windows with the proper Bostonian windows. I think a few of you might remember 44 Phillips. We replaced all the windows with the same windows. The proper Bostonian came out great. So that's the idea here on this building. We have at least five types of windows in this building. We have vinyl windows. We have casement windows. We have windows that are wooden, but not that old, probably like, you know, in the 60s or 70s windows. And windows that I believe that they have like the AC units on the bottom sash. And it got damaged, and therefore the AC units were there for such a long time that, you know, the lower sash got lost, right? So you cannot replace those windows. So we're just trying to make it nice, uniform, consistent windows using the proper Bostonian by JB Sash, that there's, it's all over Beacon Hill, and we did a project that on the latest project we had done, it was 44 Phillips that everybody was pleased to see at the end, that we used the same type of windows.
So let me, can you just bottom line it for us, Fernando or Mark or both? The ones you highlighted in green, at least, are we talking restore the ones that you think can be saved and replace the rest? Is that the idea?
So I think the idea is just to replace all of them. If someone has like a different opinion, yeah, we'll love to hear about it. But the top windows, they're newer windows, the dormer ones.
Okay, the green ones.
The rear one is all, especially the rear ones, they're all mismatched and in pretty rough shape. It's beyond replaceable and repaired.
Okay, your diagram here, right, right here though says likely can be restored.
Mark, yeah, this, Mark, this, I can fill you in on this stuff if you want, because I inspected all of these windows. These windows are in remarkable condition. The only reason why some of them are broken is because the construction team broke them. The ones on the front are older than the ones on the back, but the ones on the front are in amazing condition, and they can absolutely be restored. Pivoting to the back, the oriel at the rear of the L, those windows are also in remarkable condition. The window directly above those, yes. The only thing that's wrong with those are the smashed out window panes, and but they're in remarkable condition. They do have a film over the glass. It looks like it was applied by not a professional, so I would imagine maybe it was just the owner that did that, but those could easily be replaced. The ones that are directly behind the garage, and then one floor up, are also in remarkable condition. The other windows on the side of the L, basically Mark's green here, are the windows that I said that would have to stay. And it's my strong opinion that these windows have to stay. So we can leave it like that.
Okay, thank you. That's what we're trying to establish here. You know, our inclination, generally speaking, is to, we're in the preservation business here, not the renovation business. So our first inclination is always to preserve and restore a historic fabric wherever possible, particularly when you have rare survivors like this, historic windows in excellent, evidently excellent condition. We understand that in some cases, windows do become worn out beyond repair, or in other cases are not historic and they're relatively new and may have been inferior quality to begin with when they were more recently installed. And so certainly we approve all kinds of replacements, but I think the default position, particularly when we're dealing with historic windows that are in good condition, is we'd want those to be restored rather than replaced. So we appreciate you indicating the ones that you think are candidates in that regard.
And Mark, the windows in the back are newer, but I would guesstimate that they're around 1900, which still qualifies as historic.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, Mark, can you give us just very high level, very quickly, a sense of, obviously this L is not an original feature to this building, but it evidently has been there for a long time. Do you have any just high level sense of when the various pieces of this building, I think the Macra says the main building was 1825-ish. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. And that's the only data I have. That's the only thing that's known. I will say that there, I forget the date of the map, but there's a map from the 19th century that shows the L at least as a one-story thing.
It's like a Sanborn insurance map or something. Yeah.
Exactly. It doesn't indicate the size of the building. It did say three-story plus basement for the main portion of the building, but it didn't apply to the rear.
Right.
The L. But this photo, I think, helps. When I see things that are different, I assume they're different age. So there's a construction joint just behind this this downspout. You can see the brick is different.
Right.
Looks like a lot of different infilling. As somebody who's been on a few architectural historian lectures, a pair of double hungs I don't think is that traditional in a brick opening, but I could be wrong about that. It's hard to date, but I think it's like somebody, whoever owned the building, got a few $1,000 and just kept building every 10, 20 years, it looks like to me.
Right. Okay. So, so we don't know for sure what's exactly is happening back there, but we think it's pretty old in any case, not original, but old. And those orioles on the back there, of course, suggest later 19th century, even potentially. That's something you do see a lot of, right, even in the vicinity of this one, in some cases on the front. Okay, so I think high level, just to try to get moving us forward here, because we got a lot, obviously, to cover. We've already mentioned one concern, which is the retention of historic windows that are in good shape. So the replacement of those, I think, is problematic, at least from my perspective. There's a lot of, obviously, enlarging of window openings. I think we've already flagged the increased height of the mansard as potentially problematic. With respect to the windows on the rear facade, or the rear facade, let's say, I think The removal of fire balconies and the stairways, of course, is a positive, I think. With respect to the reconfiguration and the enlarging of these windows, I think that's potentially problematic, at least with respect to the enlargement of the windows. Let me just ask two clarifying questions. The lowest most set of windows on the side of the L, there are four of them at present and they go away. Are you representing that those are not visible from the public way?
They are not. It's the ones, it's the ones that you can see
over my head. You just had them in the, Okay. And
I believe the head of this one you can see.
And by the way, they're going to put that garage door back next door, right? So obviously that doesn't count, the fact that you might be able to see them through the opening there.
Correct.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so those...
I was in the left photo.
Yeah.
I believe the head of the first one you can see. We are open to... Those windows would not... We'd be happy to keep that opening.
Yeah, Mo, go ahead.
Sorry.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I think being recused has not been good for me this evening. I object to the fact that the windows would be enlarged or realigned. One of the beauties of these side and rear elevations from time to time is the sort of variegated pattern, which really adds character to the whole structure. We know that the front facade is lined up like soldiers. I mean, they're very orderly and nicely proportioned, but the side and rear elevations that they show moving everything around, I think is totally unnecessary. Yes, replace the windows with appropriate good, insulated glass windows and so forth. But there's no need to move all everything around. I think it diminishes the character of the building, period. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Feingold. So let me just add a further note on that.
Yes.
So we have a guideline, of course, with respect to the enlargement or new masonry openings or enlargement of existing window openings. And it's true, you can find examples where we've deviated from that guideline, but where we have hewn to it rather strictly, and where we've refused to deviate from it is where certainly we think the windows are an important part of the architectural history of the building, either stylistically or in just sort of telling the story. These buildings, this one being a good example, they're more often they've been added to and revised in their stylistic presentation over time. That's more the rule than the exception, in fact. And so this kind of treatment is rather common. And what Commissioner Feingold is getting at is the very thing, Mark, that you were describing earlier, that every few years they added on a little bit as they had more money, is, that's quite consistent with what's reflected in the architecture. And even though it may appear a bit to be a bit of a hodgepodge, at the same time, it's reflective of the story of how this building evolved from this elegant but much smaller Greek Revival townhouse built in 1825, to this much larger and albeit perhaps more awkward structure that we see today. And you can see that every, 50 feet or so, the architecture kind of changes. If you were to harmonize all of these windows, you kind of lose that story. I think if you enlarge the ones on the back of the rear facade, which is an original primary elevation of the building, albeit not the front facade, I think you're starting to get into the problem of the historical anachronism. You're suggesting something that was never there. And they don't line up and they're not as large as you've proposed. But I think particularly in this rear facade, to me, most problematic is the enlargement of that window right there that Nick is pointing to, which you can see the entirety of, because again, it would suggest a treatment on this primary or this important facade that would not have been there historically. Below that, I don't think you're gonna see much of it, if any of it. But the size and configuration of these windows does seem to be important to the architectural history and the story of this building. You know, I think, again, we should save what we can if there are historic windows in good condition. I'm not opposed to replacing the ones that can't be saved, but I think I'm having a bit of trouble with the extent of the reconfiguration and enlargement that's proposed. And then I would also say, I think the mansard, finally, just quickly, particularly from the front, you know, I think this is, again, an inelegant treatment that was done to this building. The building right next door, for example, I think is a more successful, version of this, where you do see those Greek Revival style pediments, or what might actually be sort of more an Italianate treatment that would have been added in the late 19th century when this building was Victorianized, as it were, or both. But I think both with respect to the fenestration and the cornice and the scale, I think it's more appropriate. And as you can see, the scale of that mansard is, you know, deliberately shorter in stature. It sort of accentuates the verticality of it rather than diminishing it. And your building already, the mansard arguably might be awkwardly tall, and making it taller, I don't think really solves the problem that was created when this thing was done inelegantly in the first instance. That's kind of my view, but it's maybe unfortunate that those double windows were installed there, because they're not as appropriate as what we might have seen in other nice examples like the building next door. But I don't know that putting the pediment on it, you know, solves that problem. That's just my view, but I welcome other thoughts.
It would be worthwhile seeing an elevation showing the building with its added mansard in context with its neighbors.
Yeah, I agree.
It looks as currently as if the windows in the mansard, the sill height seems to be awfully high above the awfully high up in the mansard. And it looks like in his proposed elevation that gets dropped, which would be better in terms of its relation to its neighbor. So one wonders about how much mansard do you need in order to accomplish that. The proportion of the existing windows are really sort of clumsy. I think what he's proposing is they're elegant, but it's not about the mansard increasing as much as it is about the location of the windows vertically. And yes, if one gets to see the mansard in relation to its neighbors, one can get a better sense of if its scale is compatible with its context, or it overstates its mansardness relative to the things around it, buildings around it. Am I clear?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, the thing I think I'm most troubled by is, right, the proportions and how these windows are located in the mansard. I mean, the mansard already looks kind of tall. Maybe the relocating the windows would help that. But Ralph, do you have a view on making it higher?
I'm sorry, was that directed at me?
Yes. Do you have a view on making the mansard taller?
I'm concerned that adding more height will make the mansard more out of scale with its context.
Me too.
But it feels as if the windows are set so high. Maybe that's the problem rather than the height of the mansard. What do you think, Mo?
I'm not going to debate you on the... Ralph, you speak so eloquently. I think there's a problem with that whole thing. But I just think if it's been there like that for 100 years, it ought to stay. I think jiggling with it is, you know, we could jiggle with everybody's buildings' facades. Right? But
I'm comfortable with his aspirations. I'm not necessarily comfortable with his solutions.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's helpful, I think. So, yeah, I mean, that's the trade-off. I think it wasn't an ideal design, perhaps, when it was originally done, but it was done, and it was done 100 plus years ago. So I guess a fundamental question is, do we want, how much do we want to depart from that? Do we want to try to improve it?
But the question is, sir, does it affect the livability of the residents? Is it necessary to make these changes in order to improve the quality of life inside of these rooms?
Mo, I think in that mansard, the window, the garret feeling on that upper level could be, I don't know what that upper floor is meant to be about, experience programmatically. The windows seem high relative to the floor.
That's intended to be living space, a bedroom and a family room in the rear. But the windowsills are quite high for the proportion of the windows.
Yeah. So I understand, even on the back L, I'm wondering what's the program behind the windows on the principal level that would cause them to sort of revise the elevation to the degree that they've revised it. And that's sort of more about what the life inside is like that justifies the change.
Why does it need to get taller, Mark?
In the mansard?
Yes.
I think we're putting more thought into it now than I did when I wanted them larger, because they're small. That gang of four is quite small. Let me find the right.
Well, they are what they are. I think you got to live with that, my view.
You can just see in
there is one wall. Right, hold it right there. Whoops, back up one. Back up one, please. Right there, there on the brick wall, there is a window that's been blocked up. Right there on the right. On the right hand, right there.
Yes.
You can see that there's some opening that's been blocked up. Was that previously a window or a door?
I'm not sure. The infill brick goes to the ground and maybe lower. There's also a strange, I don't have a better photo, but there's a strange super lintel over here. I'm not sure.
Okay. If you needed more light, that's obviously a place you could reopen one.
Right.
It's getting late.
Okay, so I mean, it sounds like we do have some concerns about the height of the mansard. You know, I think maybe it would be helpful, as was suggested, to see an elevation that shows what's proposed in context with its neighbor, and also I would like to see if we're at it. Something that shows, could you again achieve the same aspiration, to use Commissioner Jackson's words, I think, but without raising the height of the mansard. In other words, maybe bring those windows down a little bit, but not raise the mansard.
Yes, certainly. So, I mean, with great aspirations comes great hubris, right? That's why I'm for a moment, but I hear the comments. Look at it. You know, we're also trying to, and I know that it's not a concern of the commissioner. We're trying to make this a beautiful product for the 21st century too. Interior is mostly. I hear everything that's being said.
Okay. Can we return to the back then? So again, just reiterate quickly the concerns about the enlargement of the windows and the harmonizing them so completely. These, I mean, I think my other concern about the rear L you know, again, understanding this is the youngest of all the architectural elements, particularly as you move backwards on the building. But these proposed large sort of pairs of windows, you know, notwithstanding what's there on the building already, particularly in the proportion that you've got, I think I'm hard pressed to find a sort of precedent for that in the historical architectural vocabulary of any period in which this building might that this building might represent these three windows at the bottom I'm talking about. And to Commissioner Feingold's point, in addition to being enlargements, replacing them with something that I don't think is historic, at least not for that kind of a facade on that kind of a building, you're losing that eclectic rhythm that again is emblematic of the growing of this building over time, mm-hmm. and probably the changes functionally within it as a result. So I think, you know, that's a concern as well. Any other thoughts about that?
Can I ask if just to clarify that, I understand the different window openings, to put it in layman's terms, signify the history of the building, which is important to preserve. Is that as important on this facade?
Well, I think I think most problematic to me is the significant enlargement of that window right there. Yes. Above the, that one there. Right, that. Because you can see that. I think even when that garage door is put back in place, I did go out and look at this yesterday. Yeah. When that garage door is put back in place, you'll certainly see that enlargement.
Mark, in that window on the second floor is also historic. That one right there.
Second floor, that one right there, yeah. Okay, yeah. So another reason I think that's problematic.
Limiting oneself to double hung windows would be a strategy, you know, that could be employed. It seems really odd. The far left, first and second floor, seems really out of character. That monumental scale. So if that were replaced with pairs of double hung windows, that would seem more sympathetic to the rest of the building.
Well, we would achieve that certainly just by leaving what's there, right, Ralph? On the right?
It's currently a double hung?
Yeah, appears to be.
Yeah, so repeat that pattern on the first floor. It may be doors, but...
I mean, can we even see that door? What's the... Remind us, do we think that's visible?
These pair of double hungs... Nick are ones that Nick pointed out as being in great shape and quite old, and those are visible.
Yeah, those are visible. The door below, though, can we see the door? No. Okay. So I think, assuming we're convinced that the door is not visible, you can do what you wish with that. But we would want to retain the window above, I think, and the brick correspondingly, which is implicated in your design on the left. Okay. Any thoughts about the realignment of the windows on the looks like third and fourth floors? See, they're moving over. It looks like we're just lining up the window openings with the lower floors. I think I'm less concerned about that if they're going to stay the same size.
I just don't think
go ahead.
Well, I just love the variegated pattern that emerges over time, and the slight jiggling around adds interest to say what happened here, you know, rather than yawn. It's more of the same. I just think it's a place where one can enjoy that because different things happened on the backs of these buildings.
Yeah,
whereas they didn't happen on the front facades.
Yeah, now, with supportive spaces rather than formal rooms.
Sure.
So there's a reason to the eclectic.
Yeah.
You know, I can't help but wonder as well, just speculating here, but I'm guessing, you know, perhaps that lower window that's visible there on the right, perhaps is the newer one that might have been reconfigured when the L was added or something, because the other ones otherwise line up, you know, there's a symmetry to the ones above with the what's on the mansard and so forth, or maybe they were moved to line up with the mansard or something. But this configuration has been there for a long time, we would imagine, in particular because this is that's the original rear facade of the building, we think, right?
And this one on the far right doesn't have the precast header.
Yeah,
right.
It looks like that's an addition.
These have a soldier course brick sill and no lintel.
Is that an addition?
I think these openings are newer, but the Oriel might be
indicating
the rest is older. So not sure.
Yeah, there's a sort of a seam, right? Where the gutter is, you said?
So you're getting an addition with a more Victorian sort of character of the back. And exactly. A more formalized notion about the interior space.
Right. So that's what I was saying before, Mark, that the changes in fenestration, as random as they might at first blush appear, I think are part of the story of the architectural history of the building. You know, however elegant or inelegant we might find it with our modern eyes, I think they're important in that regard. Okay. Any other specific items of concern or conversely things that we like and think we can be confident in approving? Okay, and just remind us any other. Let me just. Here's one. I'm fine with the slight enlargement of the garage door. I did look at this in person. It seems quite clear that the door originally would have been one brick course wider. As you can see, there's the curb. Thank you, Nick. That ends short of the opening, and then what is clearly newer mortar going up there. I don't think this at all fundamentally changes the architectural expression of the rear facade of this of this garage in a meaningful way. This is the kind of thing we've allowed under analogous circumstances a number of times. I don't think the visual impact will be perceptible once it's done. Obviously, you'll replace the door with one that fits the opening. So I'm fine with that. Tell us what you want to do with the other door while we're right there.
There's a lot to go through, right? So this is one thing that we didn't put a lot of thought into, but we want to replace, we just basically said replace the door in kind, but I think maybe a panel door, a simple, instead of a slab door is appropriate. It's not very clear, but there is this placard that says 46 Chestnut Service Entrance, which is pretty cool and pretty old, or even if it's from the 40s, based on the font. So we're going to keep that. But the intention is to have a solid wood door that's not just a slab with the two light transom above.
Okay, I think that's a good solution there. I really do like that sign too, and the font is, I agree, very cool. So thank you for keeping that. Of course, you can touch that up if you need to. And paint colors, it's consistent with what you showed us earlier.
Yes. Yeah, so everything that's wood, currently painted black, we're proposing to paint this deep gray brattle spruce historic tone. The black is reserved merely for the make black metal railings, the boot scraper. Any metal work would be the black. The deep gray would be dark painted wood elements. The off white would be the portico, the windows themselves. When they are in a brick facade, would be the off-white. The gray color is the header and sill, the sort of brownstone material. If we are approved to reclad the sort of rear wood addition on top of the L, that would be painted the brattle spruce color, and these windows we've painted the brattle spruce color, whereas the windows in the brick elevations would be white, if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you. I think I am fine with the paint color proposal. Let's talk for a moment, since you just mentioned it, the recladding of this. Is it standing seam copper now? It looks brown, but I couldn't quite tell from the distance from the street.
It is a brown metal that is less expensive than standing seam copper that is meant to look like standing seam copper from the street.
Okay. And can you show us quickly again, if you've got it handy, that example that you had of something like this? I've certainly seen these kinds of structures done in wood, but you had an example, I think. Okay. Yeah.
There's a handful opposite here. The one that I thought was most just interesting was this. This is a lot more glass than we're proposing, but you know, it's a typical panel, you know, with sails and rails, and then a simple panel bead inside the flat expanses. This is right. Pretty flat, not as detailed, and this is really flat, but at some point it probably wasn't.
Right. And remind us, Nick, can you remind us of your view of that? I think I'm okay with it, but
yeah, no, I like that. But the challenge here, and I'm interested to hear what everybody has to say, is the facade on the top of the main structure at the rear. There was some debate. Mark and I were kind of going back and forth in terms of what would be appropriate there. I know you're not talking about that right now, but it might be something to consider talking about next, because they're so close to each other in proximity. So.
Sorry. That's what was that, Nick?
Oh, sorry. Did I break up? Oh,
no, we are. I think we are talking about the same thing. We need a name for this thing. It's not quite a hen house. It's not quite a mansard. It's what do we call this? It's the structure on the very top. Yes, that is right. So it is on the top of the L.
Yeah.
That is currently clad in brown metal.
Yeah.
Belvedere.
Belvedere. Oh, that's a good word. I like that. You can see this from the street, of course, but it's at a pretty severe angle and it's high up there. And you can tell that it's brown metal. I'm not sure the brown metal candidly really recommends itself all that strongly. We do see these structures occasionally in wood. It looks like a pretty simple design. And it looks like you've got something like approximating battens or something on there.
Yeah. So the thought is they're sort of the major vertical elements. It's like your vertical styles, and then there's horizontal rails, and then just to make it not super flat within that, it could be like a step panel bead.
Right. So
basically, you clad it in a flat material, add the overframe, and then put some sticking in the panels.
Got it. And it's all painted the same color.
Correct.
And it's the spruce is that dark gray, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I think I'm fine with that. Any thoughts to the contrary, doing this in wood as proposed? Okay, then what about the windows in this? And these windows are going to be, so there's a reconfiguration of the windows from these sort of French door kind of things to the three windows. I think in this case, I think I'm okay with this. It's harder to see than it looks in this diagram. Mm-hmm. It's quite high up there. You're seeing it from the street on the right, Branch Street. There's also a large tree there, I believe, in that garden. I think that part, and I mean, just looking at the proportion of those windows I'm guessing those might be, a more recent, renovation. Nick, do we have any sense of that?
The upper level?
Yeah. Those French windows or whatever they are.
They didn't look remotely old. So, I think Mark has some photos. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 70s, 60s.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so... Oh, I see. It's actually a door. Oh, yeah. It's...
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm personally okay with what's proposed there for the reconfiguration of those windows. they're, I think, if anything, more modest in proportion than what's there now. There's three of them instead of two, but yeah, they're a little shorter, right? Anyone else object? Anyone object to that? Okay, we're making some progress here. The Belvedere, we'll call it. I like that. Let's see. Okay. And then anything else, Nick, that we've not talked about at all?
Yep. So it's the upper level main structure. Did we talk about the cladding on that? So Mark, go back.
Oh, we did. Yeah. Okay.
No. So the top floor, so the rear, calling the mansard, we're proposing a standing seam metal on that portion.
Which right. And that's, would it be copper?
It could be copper, yes.
And with the intention that it would eventually turn green?
Yes.
Or some other kind. Okay. And that's clearly a standard treatment. And again, that's in the brown metal now too, the non-copper, cheaper metal at the moment. Is that right? Okay. Yeah, I think I'm okay with that too. I don't know that it needs to match the Belvedere. And it is obviously a separate structure, which was, I think, pretty clearly built at a different time. So maybe that further differentiation helps that story. Again, not trying to pretend that they were. Okay, so that's what's there now? Yeah.
Let's see what he comes back with next.
And then Mark, after you're done with this, the head house and roof deck, which I'm concerned that there will be some visibility from a lot of the angles. So
yes, thank you, Nick. So there's we can see there in the left diagram, which is your proposed, it looks like there is the addition of a head house, which is already on top of a mansard, which has already been increased in height somewhat. And there is a railing. So basic question, Mark, we see the head house to the right in your left diagram. Thank you. The railing to its left, where is that exactly in relation to the railing that appears to be shown on the existing, the right-hand one?
In plan, the railing is in the same location. And going back to the raising the roof topic, so just to try to reiterate more clearly, if by raising the roof, we're going to structure it with flat. We're going to taper the insulation towards the middle of the building down, like a valley, which allows the proposed roof deck to be set lower than if it were on top of a pitched roof sloping front back. An extreme example would be what we heard earlier on Pinckney Street, where the deck is hovering above the sloped roof, right? We're doing the opposite. We've got a valley that we're nestling the deck into. So the railing, though the roof is higher, the railing won't be that much higher than the current railing. That being said, the mock-ups that are in place now do not reflect what we are showing in our drawing. So I'm happy to table that or remand that to some committee once we get the proper mock-ups in, as well as the mock-up of the head house. We have internally and with the clients and design team, we have figured out how to lower the head house significantly from what the mock-up is showing. So it's almost like pretend the mock-up you didn't see.
Okay, so yeah, I think we're going to need to table that then, because we want obviously to have a sense of what's going to be your most current design before we spend a lot of time trying to adjudicate it. So appreciate that. So let's table that for the moment. But let me just to clarify, you're saying that the apparent height of the railing on the albeit raised roof, because of this valley, the apparent height of the railing will be lower, higher, or about the same as what it is now?
It'll be maybe a little bit higher than what is there now, but not significantly. So if we're raising the roof proposed 2'8", that does not mean, that means with the valley situation we have, the railing is not that much higher. It's only going to be a foot higher or something because it's sunk into the roof more or less. I think it's, I'd rather not try to give dimensions that don't make sense. I'd rather update drawings and have mock-ups to a little more.
Okay, while we're at it, could we mock up the proposed revised roof line, the top of the mansard?
Yes.
And can we do that on the front as well?
Yes.
And then same question with respect to the railing on the front. Is there railing there now? There is shown in the right?
Correct. There's a railing.
Okay.
Currently a railing on the front, the rear with a jaunty angle, and there is a railing on the side infilling between the two chimneys.
Okay. I don't recall being able to see the railing from the front, although I did not, I will confess, walk up Willow Street, from which maybe this is would be visible. Forgive me. No. Okay. Never mind. So, is the roof deck railing visible now? And in any case, would it be visible, do you believe, as proposed?
We are going to design the front rail so that it's not visible from Chestnut Street. We're going to design the rail between the two chimneys so that it is not visible from Chestnut Street and minimally visible maybe 200 feet down Chestnut Street. You get a better vantage as you go down the street. I was given some pretty direct guidance that it would be a non-starter to have a visible, super visible railing on the front or the side. The rear railing, I think, will be more visible than from Chestnut.
Okay, and again, there's one there now, though, just to be clear. On both.
Correct.
Right. Okay. So, could we mock up both while we're at it?
Yes, we'll mock up all three. We'll mock up the proposed mansard height leading edge, the sort of height of the roof, the three railings, and the head house.
Yes. Right.
Could I ask for a bulkhead option that is the same height as the rail so that you lift it up rather than, this is very gracious what you've done, but it's a visual obstruction. So something where the bulkhead is suppressed more.
We were realizing how visible the head house was, we were thinking and wondering if we were how open we are to a hatch as opposed to a head house.
Yes, absolutely. Great.
That's on the table for sure.
Okay, appreciate that. Let me ask Nick again, is there anything else we've not talked about at all?
I think you covered it, Mark. I think we're almost done.
Okay. In terms of things I think we can, I can suggest that we might approve tonight, it would be as follows. The painting scheme throughout, I would say the intercom panel, that's very consistent with a design that we have approved in advisory. A number of cases before.
Sorry, that's administrative.
Mark. Oh. Yep. Oh, very good. Then there you go. But that's one less thing. Let's talk about the lantern very quickly. Anyone have any heartburn over this proposal? Can you zoom that in, Nick? I'm just trying to see that detail.
I'd prefer it be much simpler, but I understand. Yeah,
I think it's a little fancy for my taste too. But it's not my job to design it. But Nick, do you have a view on that?
I think that we see a lot of very, very traditional lanterns. I think this is kind of cool. I think it's different, but it still fits the character of the property.
Yeah.
And is that one right there in place, Mark?
Yeah, this is the same model installed at 55 Chestnut.
Okay.
It fits the character. It's just fussy. Is it an LED? Is it fueled with an LED lamp?
Mark?
Hello?
I'm sorry?
LED? Is it an LED lamp?
No, we can do the exposed filament bulbs.
What's that?
We would do the exposed like Edison bulb so it looks like an incandescent bulb. Is that what the question was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I think I'm okay with it, particularly since there's an excellent example right there, and we can see what it looks like in context. I mean, this entrance is a bit finer with respect to that tracery and so forth. So maybe it's a little more appropriate in that context. But
yes, exactly.
What the heck? All right. What the heck? Right. Okay. Painting lantern. We said intercom is administrative. The Belvedere treatment, which is recladding in wood. Reconfiguration of the windows, painting, removal of fire balconies, and staircases on rear elevation. Let's see. And what else?
Garage door.
The garage door, widening the garage door. Thank you, Nick. And by the way, forgive me if it was in your diagram, but you've got a proposal for the garage door. You're going to replace that?
I'm proposing to replace it. We haven't fully detailed it, but it would be a paneled wood door painted.
Okay. So you'll come back with that.
Yeah.
And likewise, the service door there, is that in the proposal formally at this point, or do you need to, oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yes, we showed like a 6-panel door. I'm not sure if that's the right answer, or if something simpler would be. We're wide open to that.
And you just paint it the blackish color, the dark gray?
Correct.
Yeah. Anyone have any objections to what's proposed there?
No.
I mean, I think it's fine. It's pretty modest, right? Hardware, do you have a detail on that yet?
For the front, it's under admin review. It's basically going to be all restored with the exception of the buzzer. There's some pretty cool. So that's
admin. Oh, yeah.
For the rear, we haven't selected hardware, but we usually do it on lacquered brass. So the pretty simple, like the Baltimore, the Baldwin Baltimore is pretty simple, just a knob on a plate. But
all right.
That.
Okay. All right, Nick, a basic question here to try to move us forward. Mm-hmm. Previously, we saw on the diagram, on the elevations, windows indicated in green as likely able to be restored. Mm-hmm. Are you in agreement with the assessment implied by those designations?
Can we just go back to the main structure's rear wall? What about, there we go. Yep, this is fine for me.
Okay, so Mark, I think I'm going to propose, unless my colleagues object or have other views, is that we would approve the restoration rather than replacement of each of the windows indicated on your drawings in green, and that we would deny without prejudice those window openings that are proposed, those other window openings that are proposed to be enlarged or otherwise reconfigured, so that you could come back with another proposal with respect to those. Commissioners, how does that sound? I want to try to give you as much approval as we can, understanding it's a huge project and you got to come back for a lot of stuff. Yes, Commissioner Allen.
Is the public going to have a chance to speak or give an opinion on this or no?
I'm sorry. I'm just working toward, I want to make sure we know what we're talking about here, but I appreciate the reminder because, as you know, I am it's common to forget. So thank you. I just want to make sure we're on the same page as to which is which. Okay, with that, since I think we've covered it all, I think we kind of know where we are on this very big project. And again, I appreciate everyone's patience here. Let's do that right now and take public comment if anyone is left and wants to be heard on the record. If you want to be heard on the record, please raise your hand in your Zoom and at the bottom of your panel, and Nick will acknowledge you, unmute you in turn.
All right, first up we have is, where'd my screen go?
Sorry, Nick, I was controlling.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that got me really confused. Okay, so first up is Rochelle. Rochelle, go ahead.
Hi, Beacon Hill Civic Association. Bear with me because this is long because we have a statement for every item. Okay, so first in the section of windows, we oppose replacing historic windows except for the basement unless proven beyond repair or restoration per guideline D1. We oppose enlarging and modifying the following openings per guideline A7. The front windows in the mansard, dormer, and those on the rear mansard, and those on the courtyard wall. We do not oppose a new fenestration configuration on the addition if the addition is not historic. We suggest that the basement window pane configuration be 3/3 for left and right, and perhaps 2/2 for center, as the proposal is not appropriate. For the category of roofs, we oppose extending the slope mansard roof as this changes the roof line, which is against guideline C1. We oppose enlarging the dormers and adding pediments as replacement of missing architectural features must be based on evidence of original features substantiated by physical or pictorial information as per guideline A3. We oppose the introduction of a new wood cornice because replacement of architectural trim is encouraged if known to be missing with appropriate documentation as per guideline F3. We oppose the new roof deck as it is visible from a public way, which is not allowed per guideline C3. And if it can still exist with the railings pushed back from view, then we encourage the proposed penthouse for the roof access structure to become either a non-visible counterweighted hatch or non-visible low profile head house as per guideline C4. The mock-up is very visible from multiple locations along Branch Street. We do not oppose replacing the existing roof deck railings in kind at levels 3 and 4. We oppose re-siding the addition as wood because existing copper is more appropriate as per guideline C2, which states that the materials used for roofing repair shall duplicate the original materials or match appropriate existing materials. For the category of doors, we do not impose enlarging the garage door opening and lowering the sill of the service door, as it appears from the surrounding bricks that the opening has been modified in the past. We do not oppose replacing the non-historic front door with a more appropriate panel door as per guideline D3, but we oppose replacing a transom as it should be restored unless proven beyond repair as per guideline E1. For the category of paint, we do not oppose the paint colors proposed as they are historically appropriate as per guideline G1. However, we do suggest that the courtyard windows be painted the same off-white as all the other windows not on the addition. We oppose repainting the sills and lintels light gray as the masonry should not have been painted as per guideline G2. We suggest letting the existing paint weather in place as per guideline G4, where if they must paint, a high quality masonry paint should be used. For the category of ironwork, we do not oppose the removal of all fire escapes in existing state and existing states connecting the roof decks as per guideline H4. For the category of lighting, we do not oppose adding a lantern pendant as it is in a traditional location as per guideline E6, but would suggest something simpler would be more appropriate. End of comment.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Thanks, Rochelle. Can I just have a quick clarifying question, Rochelle, on point three, doors? You said we do not oppose replacing the non-historic front door with a more appropriate panel door as per guideline D3, but we oppose replacing the transom as restored. Just to be clear, are we talking about the main front entrance on Chestnut Street or this service door on Branch Street?
No, we're talking about the service door. I will admit that this was riddled with typos.
Ah, very good. Thank you for clarifying that. Appreciate it. Okay. Very good. Anyone else?
Oh, sorry, Mark. No, there's no more comments.
Okay, very good. Okay, so let me actually just go back to, I had one other question. So the Civic Association had voiced opposition to the new roof deck visible from a public way, but we're gonna mock all that stuff up, so we're gonna get a better sense for exactly how and from where that's visible. I don't think that's for today. That was my other question. Oh yes, sills and lintels. So Mark, I meant to ask this before, forgive me, but given the age of this building, I'm imagining that those lintels would have been brownstone at least originally. What can you tell us about what they're made out of?
I do not know, to be honest. They've been either parged or painted over the years. We can do a little digging to figure out if they are true stone or if they've a composite of plastics and resins over the years. I guess the answer is, my short answer is I don't know.
Right, right.
But we'll find out.
Yeah. a little, okay, that's worth knowing, I think. If they are, I mean, there's lots of examples of stuff like this that's been painted often because, you know, some of them are deteriorated and are replaced with cast stone and some aren't. And then the cast stone is painted and so forth. But Nick, did you happen to take a look at that?
The lintels themselves?
Yeah.
I mean, I noticed that they were there, but I didn't get a good look at them.
Right. Okay. Do you have a view on whether or not, if they are brownstone, we should rethink the painting of them?
Well, the guidelines say that if we're going to paint brownstone lintels and sill, they should the color should match the color of the stone. So probably leave it unpainted would probably be my recommendation based on the guidelines.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't we table that one as well, since we've got a lot of other items to reconsider, just to have another look at that, Mark. Do we get some further guidance? You know, it wouldn't be surprising to me if we found out that, you know, a couple of the lintels had been replaced with cast stone, and so they painted all of them to try to match them or something like that. That's something I think we've seen before. But, you know, given that consideration that the Civic Association has raised, and Nick, I think I want to have one more look at that while we're at it. So we'll say... Okay, we're done with public comment. Commissioners, anything else, comments, questions, concerns?
No.
Okay, the program that I outlined earlier before Commissioner Allen very helpfully reminded me that we hadn't yet taken public comment was just in quick recap. I think we're in a position to approve the painting except the sills and lintels, which we want to verify the material and then prescribe a treatment accordingly. The lantern, what we're calling the Belvedere, which is the recladding in the wood and reconfiguration of the windows and painting thereof, removing fire balconies and staircases, the widening and replacement of the garage, or the widening of the garage door opening, the replacement of the service door, and I think you're proposing, Mark, to replace the existing roof deck railings on the L. Is that right?
Correct.
In kind, basically?
In kind, same location, yes.
Yeah, okay, so I think we could add that. That's on the L, and again, we're going to mock up all the stuff on the top of the main structure to get a better sense of the visibility. Anything else that I'm missing that I think we can approve today? And then what I was going to propose is we could likewise approve the restoration rather than replacement of each of the windows indicated on the plans marked in green and coded as likely able to be restored. And then I think, let's see, are there other ones? Let's see, can we just go back to that, those elevations that have those markings for a moment? Because I think there may be at least a couple of them that were not in that category but aren't proposed for enlargement that perhaps could be replaced. Obviously, we want to have another go at the mansard windows. Okay, so...
Just to... I think I should work with Nick. Maybe my memory is a little bit unclear, but Nick, there might be a couple that I said were salvageable but not restorable. I'm not trying to sneak anything by saying that.
Hang on, I have the list on my phone that I took when I was with you. Let's see. So everyone on the Oriole was fine to restore. First floor back five stay 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's the second floor. Yeah, so second floor on the L, facing Branch Street. So all of the windows on the Orioles and then the two side windows.
Yep.
So the okay. So all eight of these windows that we're only seeing six.
Well, there's
10 of these windows that were.
Right. Yep. That's what my notes say. Yep.
Okay, so again, Nick, just to clarify, are we good just referring to these as the ones indicated in green?
Correct. Yes. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, very good. Okay. And then I'm thinking, just as the proposal is that the balance is denied without prejudice pending the installation of, you know what, let me just make a motion to move us along here, and you can amend it. If necessary, I will move that the application be approved with respect to, and only with respect to, the following items: the painting, with the exception of sills and lintels, for which the applicant will determine the composition of the sills and lintels on the front facade and verify that with staff. Subject to that determination, we will then revisit the painting. The lantern proposed for the front entrance, the structure we're referring to as the Belvedere, which is the currently metal-clad structure at the very top of the rear L, and specifically its recladding in wood, its repainting, and its reconfiguration of the windows on the west facade, removal of the fire balconies and staircases on the rear of the building, the widening of the garage door opening as proposed, the replacement of the service door as proposed, the replacement in kind of the existing railings on the rear L, and the restoration rather than replacement of each of the windows indicated on the drawings enclosed in green, and with just to be verified by the staff before any windows are removed. And then denied without prejudice with respect to the balance of the application, so that the applicant will be given leave to install mock-ups indicating both the proposed heightening of the mansard on both front and rear facades, the roof deck railings to be proposed at the front, rear, and side, west side facades, and the applicant given leave to revise the proposal for the fenestration on the front mansard and the rear portions of the building not otherwise included in the motion, with the guidance that the enlargement and reconfiguration of the position of the windows was determined to be inappropriate. Anything else? Okay. If
you got
if
it, Mark.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded. We will vote. Commissioner Allen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fleck? Commissioner Fleck? Ed, are you there?
Fell asleep.
We'll come back to Commissioner Fleck. Commissioner Feingold?
Aye.
Commissioner Given?
Aye.
Commissioner Jackson?
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond?
Aye.
Commissioner Steele? Commissioner Steele? Did we lose Sandy? I think maybe we did. We've still got a quorum. Ed Fleck, are you there?
Aye.
Oh, Commissioner Fleck. Oh, aye. Is that an aye?
Yeah.
Commissioner Fleck votes aye. Thank you, Ed. Sandy Steele, are you there?
I don't see her. She must have left.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll say she's gone. Okay. But we still have a quorum. So the motion passes. Thanks, everyone, for your patience. I know it's a very big, complicated application. I appreciate, Mark, very much, you and your team. and the thoughtful presentation and detailed explanations. You'll get a letter from Nick outlining this. Obviously, it's complicated. So if you have any questions, just follow up with Nick directly and we'll sort it out.
Oh, it's crystal clear.
Great.
Thank you all. Thank you, Commissioner Kiefer and Nick, as always. Thank you for your guidance.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye.
Good night. Okay, we're not quite done, but we're in the home stretch. Next is we're on administrative already. Okay, very good. There were portions of the prior application that are on here. You've seen, it's the usual stuff, repairing in kind and so forth. Repointing and so forth. Let me just ask a basic question, Nick, the obvious, but you'll get samples and stuff of anything like repointing, mortar, that kind of thing, that and satisfy yourself that they're that it's appropriate and so forth.
Yes.
Great. Okay. Any questions, comments, recusals on the administrative review items?
No.
Okay. Anyone want to move approval en masse?
Yeah, move.
Okay, we'll vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Mr. Fleck.
Aye.
Mr. Feingold.
Aye.
Commissioner Given.
Aye.
Mr. Jackson.
Aye.
Mr. Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Administrative items are approved. Thank you very much. Let's see. What's next? Oh, the vote. Do we still have enough people, Nick?
Sandy is a... we needed Sandy. Yeah, we can't vote. So it's all right. Don't worry about it. I mean, it's, last year, we literally just did our vote last year, I think in November. So.
Right. Yeah. It seemed like it was soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll postpone that to next time.
We got time.
Fewer things.
What are we postponing?
The vote
for chair and vice chair. You will not be surprised, perhaps, to learn that the slate has not changed.
At all.
The rain.
I hope that's not disappointing. Well, right. Let's not use that word. But our service continues, we hope.
Yes.
Okay, staff updates, Nick.
All right, not too much to report. I was going to let everybody know that there's a couple events happening, but they're actually happening at the same time as this meeting. There's a big documentary about the history of Suffolk Downs. I will have the video up on our website shortly, so if you're interested in learning about the history of Suffolk Downs, that'll be up there for you to take a look. Still working on the handbooks, with the transition in our office. There's a lot going on, so we're just trying to get things handled. So this kind of keeps being put into the back burner. So I'll get them to you as soon as I possibly can. District expansion, there's still no updates. I will, I literally check every morning the second I wake up. So I will report back the moment I hear something. And that's it. And if anyone needs me next week or the week after or the week after that, I'll actually be out of the country. So don't contact me. But you can call our office. Yeah.
Have a good time.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's it. That's all we got.
Okay. So we have just minutes, ratification of minutes.
Oh, did I? Ooh. Yes. Oh, I skipped right by it. Sorry about that, Mark.
No worries. We'll be quick. Nick, you've updated it. Thank you with the couple of little revisions I sent. And then Alice, if you're still on, which item was it?
It was which? Nine Spruce.
So we just want to revise Nine Spruce to indicate that Commissioner Richmond was recused rather than abstaining from the vote.
Correct.
Take her out of the vote. Okay. With those, with that revision, do I hear a motion for approval of the ratification of the hearing minutes of April 18th, 2024?
Motion. Second.
Okay. We will vote. Commissioner Allen. Commissioner Fleck.
Aye.
Commissioner Feingold.
Aye.
Commissioner Given.
Aye.
Commissioner Jackson.
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Okay. I think that is it, Nick. Is that right?
Thank God. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And seconded? I'll second it. Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much for your patience. Long meeting, but productive one. So thanks very much for bearing with us.
God bless you.
Thanks.